This is Sarah Payton with O'Reilly Media. Today I'm excited to bring you Eddie Tapp, brand new Photoshop Hall of Famer. Eddie is a well-known photographer, writer, trainer, and all-around good guy. We're talking about his new book, Photoshop Workflow Setups. Eddie's going to help us learn and have fun with this simple-to-understand approach to photography. So, Eddie, how did you get into photography, and what about this career still keeps you thrilled to be practicing it?
That takes me way back when I was very young. I saw a movie called The South Pacific and something else called The Windjammer. And that had a direct tie-in to getting me into what I call the big D, the big desire to become a photographer. With that in mind, what really keeps me thrilled to be practicing this today is the diversity, the satisfaction of fulfilling this desire within me that just has never diminished from the time I picked it up as a young man.
Wow. How is your approach to workflow management different than others?
I'm not sure if it is different than others' experience, but each individual has a different need for workflow management. And one must prepare a workflow according to what one thinks they'll be needing a year from now. And setting it up that way is a safe haven from what I call a workflow bottleneck. For instance, if you establish your workflow today and try to imagine what it's going to be a year from now, then you won't get into what is known as a workflow bottleneck.
So you're going to help each person set up their own individualized approach.
Exactly.
What information do you think readers will get from your book that isn't available out there in other publications?
Well, my first book, which is Photoshop Workflow Setups, is really designed to show techniques for a more productive working environment. You know, there are many tools and palettes and options that can seem intimidating or even confusing. And these steps showing you in my book how to position the palettes you need for a particular workflow so your focus is more productive.
Sounds good. Eddie, you talk to photographers all around the country. And we were curious, what are the most common questions you get from photographers?
I'd have to sum it up by saying that what is the best way to do this or that? And generally, my first thought is, there really isn't any best way. There's actually many different ways to do the same thing. So what we learn over time is perhaps a more proficient way to do this or that. And that actually is my objective as an educator, is finding the most proficient way. And sometimes I can help you become more proficient, and other times you can help me become more proficient. So it really comes down to what is the best way to do this or that.
How has the rise of amateur photography affected the professional ranks? Is it harder to make a living now as a photographer, or is that just a myth?
You know, photography is a very rewarding experience. And each and every one of us are amateurs, or at least at one point or another. Professional ranks denotes one who makes an income as a photographer. And some pros must diversify, and others must specialize. The big D, what I call the big D, which is desire, will set some of us apart there. Is it harder to make a living? I think anyone who has the big D can make a living in photography. And the key here to the success of that is education. Education in photography and in business. Sarah, the market has changed and is changing daily, and it becomes harder to make a living if you don't change with the times and focus on your goals. I think this is a good question for the Mythbusters TV show. But seriously, you reap the rewards of the seeds that you sow. And, you know, it's a big world out there, and there's actually room for anyone who enjoys the fruits of an imaging career. Only those who shut out or do not welcome competition and adapt change are the ones that are most affected that way.
When you're out talking to photographers, do you get any requests from people thinking about getting into photography as a career? And if you do, what kind of advice do you give them?
It depends on what level they're asking me and where we are, quite frankly, but the first thing I would say is follow your heart. You know, define what it is you really enjoy doing as a photographer, would like to be doing, and then find a photographer or even a series of photographers who you admire, study them, and study with them if you possibly can. Learn everything you can about how they create images that you like, and then use a part of that learning and adapt that to create your own style. Become unique and work hard to satisfy the artist or the photographer within. Education is paramount to any of this.
Who were your photography heroes?
Right off the top of my list is Ansel Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I recall so amazingly is when I learned photography, I learned that half the image is captured in the camera and the other half of the image is produced in the darkroom. And, of course, that's true today, that we still capture in the camera, and the darkroom today, of course, is Photoshop. When I heard the profound statement from Ansel Adams mention that, of course, he would create the exposure in the camera, and then through processing techniques of the film and processing techniques of enlarging, he would create the final image. And when I found that analogy between Ansel Adams and myself, it became the first time that I was less intimidated by his work, because I admire his work so much. I'll never forget looking in this book I have. And here's an image Ansel created in 1923, and it stunned me because when I realized this has all the quality and value of photography, and this guy had it mastered back then, and I'm just now discovering this. So until I came to that level of understanding it, I was a little bit intimidated.
I heard you live by the 300 rule. Can you explain that?
Sarah, when I struck the big D, the desire, I knew I would be in the photography business. I didn't know if I would be a photographer, if I would be an editor for a magazine or a book publisher. I just knew I wanted to be around photography. So I did, in fact, become a photographer. But what I found in my career, everything came and comes in lots of 300s. For instance, back in the 70s, I photographed about 300 weddings. In my career, I have photographed 300 advertisements or Shiroto ads, food, fashion, furniture, jewelry. I've just been through a series where this venue I've done 300 times. For instance, now I'm teaching workshops. And chances are when I get to around teaching 300 different workshops, I'll make a segue into something different. Things in respect for me seem to come in those lots of 300s. So as you are well aware, I have now written my first book. I'm not sure if that means I'm going to write 300 or not.
I was just wondering myself, maybe 300 books. I had heard that you had mentioned that you were seeing people in your workshops that were reinventing themselves as photographers. Maybe they'd had other careers, and now they were coming to you with their digital cameras and really wanting to learn more about how to use digital tools like Photoshop. But maybe, like you said, they had had other careers. They were doctors or lawyers or salespeople.
Yeah. I actually came from a musical background myself.
Oh, you did?
As a musician, yeah, and there's a huge sector of photographers that were musicians. But, you know, digital has become the most popular means of equipment today. And this in itself can be a little overwhelming. You know, you have to get a computer and learn software. As I mentioned in my second book, which, as you know, is going to be released in October, I refer to that as something what I call the digital mass, which is a circular shape, a world-shaped gray mass that encompasses of all things known digital. And what we do, our job is to learn just one grain of sand at a time, and sooner or later we will meet the logic of this. And it's kind of like learning what an f-stop in a camera is and then what a shutter speed is and how a shutter speed and f-stop work together. There's a logic that kind of meets there. And once you meet that logic, that opens up many, many doors. So meeting the logic will serve the seemingly overload of technological digital gray mass. Remember, there is no right way, and there is no wrong way to do any of this. It's whatever works for you today.
So I'm curious, now that you've mentioned that you were once a musician, what musical instrument did you play?
I primarily played the drums.
Oh.
And my claim to fame was playing for 2 weeks for the grand opening of Disney World in Florida. What a wonderful experience that was. And I played in a band that played at Six Flags in Atlanta here. And we did many college gigs and nightclubs, that sort of thing. It was just fun. I sat down with the band and said, okay, guys, let's go pro. You know, I'll buy a new set of drums, blah, blah, blah. And nobody really had that energy. I said, okay, then I'm going to become a photographer.
When you talk to people new to photography, what basic equipment do you tell them that they really need to have in terms of a camera and computer and software?
Again, everything kind of depends on what you want to do. And, oh, there's just so many different cameras. And today's digital cameras, from prosumers right on up through the professional level digitally, they're all really very, very good. So it just depends. Generally, what I like to try to assess is, what is the final thing? What are you going after? And if it's a 40 by 60 wall portrait or just a 4 by 6 snapshot, you know, that really leans a lot on what directive we might go from that point. But
I was wondering, do you see people coming in with too much equipment or too little equipment? Do people tend to be overburdened by their equipment? And I'm talking about hobbyists and enthusiasts. Or do they have too little? Or do they just fail to learn how to use their equipment?
Now you just hit the key element right there. I see the entire spectrum of what you just asked. I see people that are coming in with not enough and maybe way too much. But I will tell you, an amateur compared to a professional will actually understand the technological aspects of all this a little bit more than us professionals. An amateur will actually take a deeper study on the technical aspects of the equipment than the professional will. So if you really want to know the technical aspects of the equipment you're using, so digital cameras, in a lot of respects, the amateur will understand it easier than the pro, because the majority of us came from a film background.
Mm-hmm.
So learning this digital stuff was a new era. It's a new concept, and the big gray mass of digital is a part of every one of us. And with all the experience I've had, I feel like I still only understand a few granulars of sand here with all this digital stuff, Sarah. But it's the logic that I've met that keeps me afloat, that lets me have the confidence to move it on and make it work.
When you look back over your career, Eddie, what are the highlights of it?
One of the highlights that sticks in my mind is work I did with Ted Turner, WSB Television, the Weather Channel. This was back in the early 80s when WSB TV, which is a local channel here, it's an ABC affiliate, came to me and in my studio. I had a studio, the 3,500 square foot studio then, and they brought into my studio, not TV, but a set that they were going to build in their studio for their newscast. And it was just a little foam core replica of what they were going to build, and it had four windows, and they wanted a photograph of the skyline of Atlanta. And they gave me that project, and it was the most rewarding project because I had to do so much research, and we did everything from shooting out of helicopters to planning this and that. The film at 11 syndrome with the TV people is right on target, so I had to be ready to have some kind of image that they were going to put in those windows by the time they built this set. And each panel was 40 by 60 inches, and they happened to be Cibachrome transparencies. And those images were on TV 5 or 6 times a day for 4 years. It was very rewarding to turn on TV and watch the news and see my picture.
That's exciting. I want to go back to a tip question before we wrap up here. What about trying to give me, say, the top tips you would give, you know, photographers in need of advice? So they might be enthusiasts or semi-pros, but what are your top tips?
Photographer one, of course, is learn the elements of composition, which include lines, form, color, shape. Learn to see the light. We all see the light, but there's a dawning. It's almost like a change of life. When a photographer actually sees the light, all of a sudden you see the way the light is wrapping around a face, or you see the way the light is actually delicately hitting a building or whatever. When you learn to see the light, it changes your life. Then there's the element of capturing the essence. If you're working with a person, or there's this thing called emotion. We all know emotion. And in order to capture emotion with a camera, that requires being able to see the emotion in a different way, and then capture that, learn how to actually capture that emotion. That is the greatest talent any photographer can have, is learning to capture an emotional impact. So I know there's only three answers.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Eddie Tapp, for talking to us. Eddie's new book, Photoshop Workflow Setups, is available for purchase at www.oreilly.com. His second book in his five-book series, Practical Color Management, will be released in early October. For other great O'Reilly podcasts, visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com.